Hello.
It's so good to be back. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And today I'm with my guest. This is Tina Leanne Erdman. Thank you so much for joining me, Tina. We're going to let the audience learn about you from you. I am quite fascinated by what you do, and we'll get into that shortly, but why don't you give them a little rundown on who you are and what brings you to us?
Thank you for having me today, Elaine. So I am Tina Leanne, and I'm owner of The Sovereign Soul. And so I'm a coach, and I use human design. I use a few different modalities. So I use human design, gene keys, and NLP when I'm working with my clients. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. And so basically what that is, neuro, this is just means like how we take in the world, and linguistic is how we make sense of what we take in. And then the programming is, of course, you know what it is. It's our programming, and it's what we do with all of this information. And sometimes with the program, we create patterns and behaviors and automatic programs, right? And sometimes those programs are helpful and sometimes they're not, but they think they're helpful, which is the interesting part, right? And so none of it is wrong, good. It's not bad. It's not wrong. So with NLP, it basically teaches you how to use the language of your mind to get the results you want. So if you think about it, like, language is how we got to where we are. And so we can use language to rewind that and recode that and get to where we want to be.
Awesome. Okay. That is very cool. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start, because everything you do completely interests me. Mm. I have a bit of a background in NLP. I have a very dear friend who has been working with human design for, I don't know, about 6 years now. And it's the last one I don't think I know too much about.
Gene keys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Richard Rudd is the man who, how do I want to created gene keys. And he worked, Ra Uruhu is the man who channeled human design. Yeah. And then Richard Rudd worked with Ra for a while. And then Richard went off on his own. And so he created what's called the gene keys. And there are 64 codons, that 64 gene keys that align with the 64 gates in human design. And so the distinguishing, how, this is my opinion only, my opinion, and how, okay, I distinguish the two, or how I tie the two together, is Ra and human design is the intellectual part of it. And Richard Rudd with the gene keys is more the softer side. He brings in the consciousness. Yeah. So that's not to say, like, human design bridges science and spirituality.
Yeah.
It seems more black and white, where the Gene Keys, there's a real softness to it. He really brings in the consciousness, and it's a beautiful pairing together.
Ah, more fluid, would you say?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. It gives the person. And so Ra, when he created, or when he channeled Human Design, he channeled it such that we could see where we are in life. That Richard Rudd took it a step further and is, okay, here's where you are. You can see where you are. You can see where your potential is through the Human Design. And then the Gene Keys just brings it all, it brings a forward momentum to it, if you will, like forward moving language.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, that is interesting. I think I'm a manifester. Is that
right? Ah, so am I.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
So in terms of what we would normally talk about here is suicide loss, ideation, mental health, and all things to do with that, I think this is a really good and important set of topics, because it is about, and I hopefully I'll put this correctly, but it can be about recalibrating yourself, and that can certainly be very helpful.
Yes, it can. I just did a talk at the Healing Utah Success Summit for the addiction recovering community.
Ah.
Yeah. And I talked a lot about neuroscience and early programming and strategies and such. And I love, and we can, it was mostly for the recovery community, but we also invited mental health, and it's for everybody, right? It's for us, all of us. All of us could learn. When we're learning this stuff, it's so useful to everybody and anybody, right? And the thing that I like to really bring forward is that you are not broken. No, none of us are broken. And there's nothing wrong with any of us. It's just our programming. It's our early childhood programming and the way we were coded when we were younger. And because, and once so when we were younger, before, from birth to the age of 7, and I'm sure you've, maybe your listeners, or you have heard this many times with your guests that have been on our before, but from birth to 7, we're in like a theta brainwave state, and we're in a hypnotic learning state. And so we're picking up everything around us. Our unconscious mind is picking up, I've heard different numbers, like 400 billion bits, 2 billion bits of information per second. Let's just, who cares what the number is? It's a lot, right? Our unconscious mind is picking up everything around us in our environment, things that we're not even aware of. And then it comes through our internal representation system, our brain, and information gets deleted, distorted, and generalized. And we're consciously aware of 126 bits out of that 2 billion. Which is crazy.
Oh my God.
And so we're bringing in so much information. And so from birth to 7, your prefrontal cortex isn't yet developed. And so what we take in everything is truth. And in that time frame, you're in your family environment, and the family members, each family member is doing the best they can with what they know at the time. And each one of us copes in different ways. And so we're learning how to cope in an environment that's coping. And so we're creating, And so we create strategies that are keeping us safe. And then as we're growing up, we're introduced to more environments, right? Through school and work and college or life. We're introduced to more environments and more people and more messaging throughout life. And sometimes those strategies get stronger and stronger until they're no longer helpful for us. Right. And sometimes then at some point, some of these strategies, they block us from moving forward, and they block us internally in ways that can make us feel like there's something wrong with us when there's not. And so that's where some of these modalities can come in and be really useful, because when you understand that it's biology, that you're not broken. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you at all. It's simply biology. And then once you have an understanding of how the biology works and how it functions, then we can work with that, right? And we can work with that, and we can use these different modalities, whichever one resonates for you, because each one of us is unique, and different modalities are going to resonate for different people. And so then we can use these modalities to really dive in deep within ourselves and learn about ourselves. And the more we learn about ourselves, the more we heal. And the more we heal, the more we can help others and serve.
That was so well put. Absolutely. I know I grew up in what was considered a very chaotic life when I was very young. One of our family members was very ill, and there was 5 hours apart because my father was in the Air Force and we were transferred. So there was a lot of phones ringing and everything had to be dropped and we had to drive immediately. So everyone was always on tenterhooks waiting for that phone to ring. It does change how everyone interacts. And I can even say at this late age in life, if the phone rings after 7 o'clock at night, my heart almost stops.
Yeah. And isn't that amazing too? How I'm always surprised, but at this point I feel like I shouldn't be, but I still am surprised at how long some of this stuff lives in your body.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, right? It's something that happened 2 years ago, or when you're 2 years old,
yeah,
could be in your body when you're 60 or 70 until you're aware of it and you can use the modality to release and neutralize that energy. But it's so crazy. Yeah, I also grew up in a inconsistent household. My mom got hooked on painkillers after a back injury, and my dad was in the Vietnam War and he coped with alcohol. And both of them, my mother specifically, had a very tumultuous childhood. And they got together when they were young. My mom was 21 when she had me. That's so young when I think about that now. And they didn't have the resources that we have now, right? And so they didn't know what they didn't know. And they were doing the best they could with what they had. But in that environment, it was pretty chaotic and it was pretty crazy. And so I learned some coping mechanisms that I learned and some strategies that I took on was to be invisible and to be quiet and suppress myself and to try to be invisible. So I didn't make any waves in the house and set anybody off. And as I grew into early adulthood, even through school, it didn't serve me, but I didn't know at that time, I didn't know any better. And then into early adulthood, I realized, I'm not behaving. These people are behaving. Why do they just let themselves be seen and heard? And they're just goofy, or they say whatever they want. And I'm over here hiding. And it was quite a journey for me to unravel all of that. And it was, there was some painful moments involved in that too, in my childhood and stepping away from that and unwinding that. It was quite a process and I didn't give up, which is good. Grateful for that. But sometimes it wasn't easy.
Yeah. And was it your own childhood that led you to seek out NLP? And NLP, I assume, is the first modality you found?
Actually, I found human design first.
Oh, wow.
I just found NLP recently, last year. I take that back. I knew of NLP. I just started training, getting certified as a practitioner.
Wow.
Yeah, just recently. But yeah, yes, my childhood, to answer your question, yes, it was definitely my childhood. I didn't know anything when I was little. Obviously, we don't know what we don't know. So I would say like middle school, high school timeframe, when you start spending the night over at friends' houses. Yeah. And I was around different families and I realized my family doesn't act like this. Like your mom brings popcorn to the living room and turns the movie on for us, like things like that. And I was just perplexed about these things. And then it was actually a psychology class in high school that really like flipped the switch for me, if you will, or opened up a new world to me when I learned about these illnesses that we label, right? And then I started learning about these different things and started diving into, do I have this? Does my mom have this? I wasn't therapizing anybody. I wasn't doing any of that. I was just like taking in the information and then thinking to myself like, wow, now this is making some sense here. There is something going on here that's a little deeper than my parents aren't purposely trying to hurt me. There's something else happening here. And I'm a very curious person by nature. I was the little kid who sat at the bottom of the stairs by the bookshelf reading the encyclopedias. Yeah, a total nerd. So just a curious person by nature. And so that psychology class actually opened up a new world for me. And then I kept researching and reading about things. Back then we didn't have the internet. And so I would spend some time at the library and read books and magazines. And I got some help myself too. I went to therapy for a short period of time and it was really helpful. It was so helpful to talk to somebody who was outside of my friend and family network. It really was helpful to do that. And then I moved to Colorado in my mid-20s. And I didn't do this for this reason, but once I got outside of that in my environment, I could really see things from a different perspective.
Of course.
Yeah. And I was just moving to Colorado because I wanted to snowboard. And little did I know, right? And little did I know it was going to be this transformational experience.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So that opened up another whole world for me, right? Like I got outside of this drinking culture and all the, with the alcohol is a big thing in Wisconsin and that's a tough one to call out on people too, because it's so socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once I got myself out of that environment and had a chance to really look at things from a bird's eye view, that shifted a lot inside of me. And so that really started me on this trajectory one thing at a time, just following the breadcrumbs. If a book came across my path, I would read it, or a person, I would listen to what they said. And one thing, I didn't really have a mentor or coach or anything like that. I was just aware, you know, just aware of these things. And when I read something or heard something that somebody said, I would sit with it for a minute and look at myself and say, where in myself can I make this shift? Yeah. So I took on the responsibility to shift within me, whatever I could and can, I still do that. And so then one thing led to another, and then I came upon human design, and that really, I love human design. Because it's the way that I describe it is it's a blueprint of your higher self. It's the blueprint of it's your energetic blueprint of who you are without the baggage, without the limiting beliefs and the things that we're holding in our bodies. It's who you came here to be. And so that's it's like a map. It's a map to your higher self. And so I started playing with that, and I'm a scientist in at heart, right? And so when I do these things, I look at it as an experiment. It makes it a lot more fun and a lot easier, right? Yeah. And so I just thought, I'm just going to experiment with this and see what this unravels. And so I had fun diving into learning about my purpose and my gifts and my energetic blueprint and just unwinding even more through that in a fun way. And then I came across NLP, which I absolutely love, because the main reason why I love NLP is, and I use it with my clients, and I don't need to hear the story. They don't need to repeat the story to me for the work to, for the work to happen.
Wow.
So, yeah. They can share the story if they want, but they don't have to. and they can share a part of the story, and we can get enough to where we have something that we can release through NLP. And so we don't need to reintroduce the trauma.
Wow.
Which is why I just absolutely love it. And I've experienced deep transformation myself with NLP, using NLP on myself and working with a practitioner. And then I've just Yeah, so I've seen just incredible results, incredible, I don't even know how to explain it, just like aha moments, just huge breakthroughs with my clients in minutes. Wow. And that's the other thing with NLP is it's a really quick, because if you think about, so my instructor, he asked us a question on the first day of training. He asked us a question and he said, how many of you have been angry with someone? And we raised our hands. And how many of you have been angry with someone for a year? How many, 5 years, 10 years. And then he said, and how long did it take you to get over that? Did it take 10 years? Did it take 5 years? Or did it take a split second? And I just sat there for a minute. I was like, oh, it took a split second. Once you make the choice, then it's done. He said, so it took you 10 years to get to the place where you could make the choice. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he said, so this is what NLP does. It's like you're just, it's as quick as making a choice, because yeah, we're talking to the unconscious. And so we don't need to take months or years to make some of these big changes. Yeah. So that's it. I'm so passionate about it. I could talk about it all day, but that's why I love NLP.
It makes so much sense to get rid of stuff. I like things to go away quickly.
Yeah. With no pain, right?
Yeah, because they didn't for a very long time. It's funny when in talking to different people and doing this show for as long as I have, I would never have said before about a year and a half ago, it never would have occurred to me to tell you my childhood was chaotic. I had an idyllic childhood. I adored my mom and dad. I came to this country with my mother, my father, my grandmother, and my aunt, because family was more important to my parents than their belongings. That was the option. And it was just like something out of Candyland. Everything was wonderful. But when this person started digging into something I had said about my dad and how I was his navigator, didn't matter if it was 3 a.m, he could wake me up and I'd be a happy camper and I would navigate. And then the person said, oh my God, that's a lot of chaos to live through. I thought, what? And I left our interview and suddenly thought, oh my God, he's right. That was a lot of chaos to go through. And the minute I really examined it, by the end of the next week, it was cleared and done and out of the way, because I finally had looked at it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I guess we need people like you that have NLP and human design and all that, because there are things that we haven't confronted because we've taken in different programming and told ourselves the stories that we needed to swallow in order to come out the other side, I guess is the way to put it.
That's true. And yes, and like human design in particular, really, well, NLP too, helps you change the narrative.
Yeah.
Just as you said, it's the stories that it's the words we wrap around things that create the emotion, that create the behavior. And yeah, so if we can write a new story, if we can edit the story to make a better story, we can really create anything we want in life. As long as we keep taking action, we have to keep taking action. And yeah, just like what you said, once there's awareness, something just energetically pops right from there. Just having that awareness will shift everything. And then as you work through that, it releases even more and more. And then you can really really start to open yourself up to new possibilities.
Yeah. It's really interesting that the timing is great for you to talk about. To me, it's that commingling of NLP and human design and the Gen Keys as well. So let's talk a little bit about the Gen Keys. Where does that fit in this puzzle?
Yeah. So, well, in human design, there are 9 centers, 36 channels, and 64 gates. And so the gifts, I always say the gifts are in the gates. And so we can look at the gates are energetic exit and entry points at either end of the channel that connect to the centers. And the centers are, they fall in alignment with the Hindu chakra system. So the head, the ajna, throat, and on. Yeah. And then gene keys, there are 64 codons, 64 gene keys that line up with the 64 gates in human design. Yeah. Yeah. And so once we can look at, and then your gene keys, there's a pearl sequence in there, and it goes, they're so similar because you can find out a lot about your purpose and what is the big thing that's holding you back, like the big block that could be holding you back. And once you know that, that's a wonderful thing to know, right?
Yeah.
And especially if it's, because it's usually, there's so much wrapped around it, like genetics and there's so much wrapped around it. So once you know that core wound and that one thing that could be holding you back, then you have awareness around that. You can start to unwind that and you can then step into your full potential, into your purpose, whatever words resonate with you in that respect. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's just, it's so helpful. It's a deeper awareness and it helps you. We have awarenesses throughout our day, just with like you, with your guests and the people that we talk to and interactions, even with strangers, or we'll hear something maybe in a podcast or we'll come across something on social media, a meme on social media.
Yeah.
We can have great awareness even through that. And then with the human design and the gene keys, it's a mirror. It's, you're looking at like your blueprint.
Yeah.
And so it brings more awareness around more things at deeper levels. And then it has, with both of those, there's the shadow side and then the full potential of it. So we can look like on a spectrum, then where are you for each one of these gates, centers, and channels? Are you more on the shadow side, unhealthy or unbalanced, or more on the balanced side? And then if you're toward the unbalanced, we can dive into that. And then we can use NLP or people. And then people, sometimes they'll just come to me for a reading. And then we can discover where they are more on the unbalanced side. And then they might like Reiki or some other modality to use to unwind that energy. So then they can go use the modalities that they like with focus.
Okay. So it can be used to shine a light on what needs to be managed.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, it brings in the process of all of this, the thing that I like most about it and what I saw happening within me over the years of working with these modalities and what I see in my clients is it immediately gives you a permission slip to be who you are, to be more of who you are, but it also gives you a really deep understanding that you're not broken.
Yeah.
There's just some fine tuning that needs to be done. You need an oil change. You need some gas.
You want your Porsche or your Ferrari to run well. You need to keep up the maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I drive either of those cars. Not for the reason you would think. This is where my bent sense of humor comes in. I don't have knees or cartilage, so I can't get down far enough to get into a Ferrari.
Yeah, they are very low to the ground. That is for
they
sure.
They are.
Yeah.
What would you say is, where do you see you taking these three modalities? Do you see them going along as they are? Or do you see it morphing into something that's uniquely you?
I do. I see it. There's something already happening. I call it the Freedom Frequency Framework. And so it's already happening. I'm not quite to the final thing yet, but I'm getting there. Because I do believe, and I, as I'm working through this, there is a beautiful way to merge all of this stuff and simplify it, so more people can have access to it and understand it easier.
It's funny because in my day-to-day work, before I really got into the podcast, I'm a digital integration specialist. So I did integration and optimization of all your digital properties. And for me, the word that sums up everything for me is integration, is making sure things are congruent. And it's really funny because I found over the years, I've been in the area for more than 20 years. Over the years, I realized that putting together that integration and that making sure everything meshes, it spills over into life. It is like the ultimate in no matter what you're talking about, be it spirituality or religion or math or anything. It is about that integration and making things mesh together well. And that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, I love that. For so many reasons. Just as you were talking, I can see why you asked that question, to integrate and make that congruent. And also, I think I often reflect on myself and question, are you in congruence? Is this coming from a place of congruence? From an integrated, are you coming from a place of integration and wholeness and congruence with coherence?
Yeah.
And not ego or anything like that, but making sure it's coming from a deep place. Yeah. I love that. You had that experience with digital systems.
Yeah.
And we can bring that right into the human. We can bring that into spirituality. I love that.
It's fascinating to me what you do. Okay, all of those things, partly because I'm very impatient.
Same manifestor thing.
Yeah, it's the manifestor thing. And for, I don't know a better way to put it, but for so many years, I would say I was asleep at the wheel. Circumstances basically had me retreating to 12 years old. So I didn't have to deal with what was happening. And, you know, that A is no way to live, but it is like suddenly waking up. I feel like Sleeping Beauty after 45 years, you suddenly wake up and it's, oh my heavens. We have to get back on track and get on with purpose.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What was the catalyst that woke you up?
It was a couple of things in the past 2 years. One was understanding the chaos of my childhood and understanding that I worked in a mental institution when I was a teenager. I volunteered from the time I was 12 years of age.
Oh, wow.
I do not recommend that. And things are not what they were at the end of the 60s, but it's very different now. And it tends to color what, so by the time I was 16 and I lost my friend, it made it very difficult for me to go forward. And there was much incongruence in what was happening inside me. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting to, the universe will, I believe, put things in your path that you can choose to open up and look at, or you can walk by.
Yeah.
And when you approach the universe with curiosity, and when you're always looking to learn something, it's amazing what they do put in front of you.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So human design has come up so many times in the past 6 years. It's okay. I get it.
Yeah. Have your friend give you a reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is truly fascinating. And you do your readings. Can you do your readings virtually as well, right?
Yes. Yep. I can. I work with a lot of my clients over Zoom. So I love it. Thanks to the internet. Now we have so much reach and we can help so many more people. It's a lovely thing. So yeah, I do a lot of work over Zoom.
That's excellent. I think it's wonderful when we do know our purpose that we can help as many people as we can with the new technologies that are out there. And again, I'm a big believer in embracing technology and making sure you understand the pros and cons, but embrace the good bits and be aware of what's not so great. All of your information is below. It will be down below in the show notes. We will have links for you so that you can get in touch. You'll notice that her website is here, thesovereignsoul.co, which I think is really excellent. It resonates for me. The Sovereign Soul is, I think that's pretty incredible. Tina Leanne, I thank you so much for being my guest. I know our audience is probably fascinated by what they've heard here today. And you can contact Tina to find out more about human design, NLP, and Gen Keys, which I think is really interesting. As a matter of fact, I think I'll take myself up on that as well. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to my audience. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness, and I thank you so much for being here. Remember to make the very best of your today. Every day, and we're going to see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? You know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to szf42.com. And for our American listeners, that's szf42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
Through the pain, we all belong together in hope, because you matter.